Several have made extra effort this morning to be here. We appreciate Kevin leading the singing. He has had difficulty with a foot, and we're thankful that he's able to be up and about and help us out in a public way. He has healed a lot since he was in the hospital, and so we're thankful for that. Others have been ill and are doing better, and we appreciate those who are here today. I came in a while ago after class, and I met an old friend. Michelle was from Fairmont. I knew her when she was a wee little girl, Michelle Radcliffe, and she's with us this morning. And it's hard to imagine as you get older. These young people, very young when I used to know them. Of course, I haven't gotten any older. I still look the same as I always did. But anyway, we're just so thankful that she is able to be with us, and others as well. We're always happy to have guests in our assembly, but especially those who make a special effort to come and be with us. The other day, I saw a cartoon in the newspaper. I can't remember if it's called Family Circle or Family Circus. Anyway, it's just one little cartoon. You all know what I'm talking about if you get the newspaper. But anyway, the little girl was sitting on the edge of her bed, and she asked her mother, "Did I get out on the right side of the bed?" And I thought that fits into the lesson this morning. Sometimes people have what we might term a kickative mood. You all know what that is? Kick at everything going. They have a bad attitude toward everything. And there have been songs written about attitudes. One years ago was, "Someone needs an attitude adjustment." You all know what that is too, don't you? But anyway, attitudes are vitally important in our lives, and especially is this true when it comes to trying to please our Heavenly Father. I will admit at the beginning of our study that my attitudes are not always right. Now, you may be perfect, but I'm not. And sometimes our attitudes need adjusting. And I think about this a lot. How can I improve my attitudes? It's very easy to be negative. It's very easy to be pessimistic. As a matter of fact, I heard some talking this morning about some things going on in life, and I mentioned the fact that it's very easy to be a spectator. You know that? And in regard to the games of life, whatever they are, football, basketball, baseball, we've always got it all figured out, don't we? And we, on the sidelines, as spectators, know how everything ought to go. But down on the playing field, it's a lot different. And whether we're a teacher or a student, we have attitudes toward our teachers, toward our students, and all through life toward others, that oftentimes we find out are very poor attitudes, and those attitudes need changing and adjustment. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about Matthew 25. There are a lot of lessons to be learned from Matthew 25, 24 through 30, but one is this. The man with the one talent attitude, and there are a lot of other applications of this, but the man with the one talent attitude believed that the Lord was very hard, reaping where he had not sown, and so on and so forth. And you remember he was told that what you should have done was taken that one talent, at least taken it to the bank and gotten some interest on it. But instead, his belief was that the Lord was very hard, harsh, and so he decided to take that talent and hide it in the earth. He did nothing with it, thinking that his Lord would be pleased with him. Well, he wasn't, because he was a slothful, unprofitable servant. Now, As I've said, there are a lot of other applications that we make in that, and we know the other fellows had other talents, but the one that had the one talent did nothing with his, and I really feel as though it had a lot to do with attitude. Attitude, number one, toward the Lord, attitude in regard to the blessings that he had received, because he had received a talent and was to use it to gain more, but he didn't. And so attitude in all of life is so vitally important to us. And it carries over into a lot of areas of our lives and our living. Psalm 118 and verse 24, the Bible says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." That probably could be a theme for every day when we wake up. This is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it as we begin that new day. A good attitude brightens not only the person's day for himself, it also brightens the day for other people with whom that person is associated. It is an inspiration, really, to other people as we think about the joyfulness and the daily routine of joyfulness of some individuals. I'm sure that you have worked with individuals who seem to be on a, and this is used in a good sense, on a high every day, because their daily routines, their activity of service and work was always something that you enjoyed being around. They had that joyfulness of spirit. And in spite of things that go wrong, it seemed as though they maintained that semblance, at least, of a happy life and could get through anything in life. And you know that's infectious, isn't it? You know, when one person has that joyful, rejoicing attitude in life, it catches. And we're influenced by that. But also, on the other hand, it is true that if someone has a negative attitude, always griping and complaining, that too is catching, isn't it? And if we're around either one of these very long, it will catch on. And we hope this morning that our attitudes in life are good. And I thought of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." I've mentioned before, and I'll probably mention it again in my life many times, but I had grandparents that were quite influential in my life. And my Grandma Smith used to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That was one of her beginning lessons of the day when I would visit in the summertime. And I really believe that was her philosophy of life, that regardless of what comes, I receive strength through Christ and God. We need to rely upon them every day of our lives. And so there is that kind of chain reaction that if we are positive, if we are joyful, then others will catch that spirit. If we are negative and downhearted in life and thinking about nothing that's good in our lives, then that's catching too. And others will have that negative attitude. Now, let's notice this. Attitude is a definition of one's character. I really want us to think about this. I've thought about this a lot. Attitude is a definition of one's character. It really involves who or what a person is. For instance, if we were to apply Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," there is not a battle that cannot be won. Really. We have the faith that helps us in our lives to defeat the devil and to accomplish much for good. And so that has to do with who I am or what I am in life. I want to share with you a quote. It's written by William James, and it's rather lengthy to put on the screen, so I thought I'd just read it to you. He says, "I have often thought the best way to define a man's character would be to seek out the particular mental and moral attitude in which, when it came upon him, he felt himself most deeply and intensely active or alive." One's character. What is it that really makes us feel alive? And to go maybe a step further, what is it that really makes us feel worthwhile? A lot of that has to do with attitude. And then he goes on to say, "At such moments, there is a voice inside which speaks and says, 'This is the real me.' Who are we? And what are we?" We need to be concerned about what kind of me we are thinking about. What kind of me I'm really protecting with my attitude. Well, think about some of these. Is this attitude good or bad? Now, all of us would admit, I think, unless we're trying to fool ourselves, that there are attitudes that we've had that are bad. On the other hand, there are attitudes that are good, and putting them on a scale, which one outweighs the other? That's something about me, something about you. Who am I, really? And secondly, is this attitude Christian or unchristian? Is this something that Christ would display in his life? Some people can't even talk to one another. You know that? Unchristian. Had a couple of ladies one time in the congregation, in a congregation, not this one, who just weren't getting along. They would come to services and do everything they could to be nasty to each other and speak hatefully to each other, and even went so far as to stick their tongues out at each other. And I saw that. The real me? What kind of attitude does that display? Bad one, isn't it? Certainly not Christian by any means. Because when I say that I am a Christian, that means I belong to Christ. I'm going to try my very best to display in my life attitudes that Christ would approve of, and that others to a large degree would approve of too, because I claim to be a Christian. Is it the kind of person that I would like for a husband? I had a counseling session a number of years ago when I was in Parkersburg. Two young people came. They wanted me to perform their wedding ceremony. And I said, "Well, this is my policy. And by the way, it's still my policy. I don't marry divorced people, number one. Number two is that you have to go through my counseling session for 6 weeks. That usually is a clincher right there. Because they don't want 6 weeks of listening to me tell them about marriage. That's one night a week for 6 weeks. So this couple came in, and immediately they began fussing and feuding. And I said, "You all are starting off on the wrong path." They said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You can't even sit down for 5 minutes and talk to each other right. And you expect to live a lifetime with each other? Can you imagine the squabbles? Just imagine." Well, it wasn't too long until they sat there for about 5 minutes, and then one of them brought up something and the other one started arguing. They started fussing and fighting and feuding. You know, I said, "This counseling session is over. You're off on the wrong foot. You've got to be able to communicate. As a matter of fact, attitudes just are not right. You've got to have the right attitude." So is this the kind of person that I want for a husband or a wife or the father of my children or the mother of my children? You see, attitude has a lot to do with that. Grandfathers and grandmothers, you know, need to think about attitudes too. Fellow employees, you ever have somebody that you couldn't work with? All of us probably been there, right? And when we think about their attitudes, we then begin thinking, am I like that? Am I that kind of person? Attitudes really do matter. Attitude is everything. John Dewey said that the deepest urge within us is the desire to be important. Now, if he's right, this might be one of the greatest danger spots in our thinking. The first place most of us would need to work on improving, and that is our attitude in regard to self. Now, by the way, the desire on our part to be important could easily evoke arrogant attitudes, haughty and conceited spirits, right? But there is a sense in which we are important. We are of value. And it's not arrogant to say that, because God created us in his image, in his likeness. We are of value. Many passages display that. We could be overemphasizing our importance. Paul says we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But it is also true, is it not, that we need to think about ourselves. We need to examine ourselves to see who and what we are. And that has to do with attitudes of mind and spirit. Well, James chapter 4, verses 6 and 10, I want to read. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 10. Listen to what the writer says. But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You've heard the lesson I learned a long time ago. A school teacher told me, if you don't learn to be humble, you'll learn humiliation. You know, that's true. Just think about it. How important humility of spirit is. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 7. Then in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The spirit of humbleness is very, very important. All that means is that a good attitude would be in doing nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. So then, a good attitude is not conceited. As a matter of fact, the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13, talks about one who's puffed up. Love is not puffed up. Also this morning, a good attitude is also a positive attitude. I want to share with you some thoughts along this way. Did you have a positive outlook on life this morning when you got up out of bed? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Some of you probably had a little harder time getting out of bed than I. Somebody told me that this morning. I'm not going to mention any names. But if we have a bad attitude about that, then probably the whole day is not going to go very well. But think about this day. God has given to us another day of life. Kind of like the man that got out of bed and said, man, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. I can still move. That's the way it is, isn't it? This is the day the Lord has made. We need to rejoice and be glad in it. A good attitude is a positive attitude. A good attitude is a positive attitude about ourselves and our lives. I hope that we can say that our lives are lived in the right way. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 I have as a reference. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Who has what? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Those who are in a saved relationship ought to rejoice in the fact that we are in a saved relationship. And he's called us to a holy life. And we ought to be thankful for that too. Peter said we're to be holy even as he is holy. We ought to be thankful and rejoice that we're able to live a life that pleases the Heavenly Father. And that will tell us a lot about ourselves and about our lives. That is, the attitude that we have. Secondly, a good attitude is an attitude about other people. I really don't care what other people think. I really don't care if somebody does evil things to them. We are living in an age when people do not care. Now, there are many who care, but a lot of folk don't. And they have a bad attitude. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 is an important text because it begins with a source. In regard to our attitudes, and he says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." Love, if you don't remember anything else about attitude, remember this. Love is of God. John writes, "Let us love one another." Or do we really love one another? Do we really? He says, "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." And then verse 8 says this, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Difficult for some people to love others, isn't it? Sure. Sure it is. But love is of God. Therefore, we should love one another. A good attitude is wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. Let's just talk about one or two. School. You children that are here this morning, do you go to school with a half-hearted attitude? Well, I'm just going to do what I want to do, and it really doesn't matter to me. What about Bible class? Parents or young ones alike, do we think about the day that God has made, and we rejoice and are glad in it that we're able to attend Bible class? And then when we get here, do we do it with a wholehearted attitude? I'm going to study. I'm going to learn what I need to do to please God more than anything else. And we give our all. What about our work? Have you ever worked with somebody that did about half the job? Sure you have. They came to work not expecting much, not expecting to do very much, just simply to get by. We say they don't really have their heart in it. Well, work needs to be that because we're to glorify and honor God. So when we talk about a whole lot of things in life, a good attitude is wholeheartedness. And finally, a good attitude emanates from a kind and gentle heart. We are to forgive one another. We are to be tender-hearted and kind. Kindness is one of those words that I think about a lot, being kind to one another. It's almost shot in our day and age, isn't it? Kindness. When we do something kind for somebody, nowadays it's almost a surprise, isn't it? They're just shocked that somebody would take the time out to be kind and do a kind deed. I see this in the newspaper all the time. Kindness, tender-hearted. Paul says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Just as Christ was tender-hearted, just as Christ was kind, just as Christ forgave others, so ought we also to be. Is that the attitude that we possess? There is a verse in the Bible that tells us very emphatically what we need to do in order to be saved. I studied this with those of our radio audience this morning, Mark 16, 15, and 16. Very simple. Go into all the world, verse 15 says, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. The joy of being a child of God has to do with attitude. But it begins with recognizing something about our life. Our life is out of kilter. Our life needs changing. And because of that, we believe, based on the scriptures, that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the deliverer from past sins. And we believe that he died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. He is the divine Son of God. And because sin is so serious, we are to repent of those sins, turn away from them, acknowledge our faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son, and then allow someone to immerse us in water to baptize us into Christ for the remission of our sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It doesn't read, he that believeth is saved and then can be baptized later. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The one who doesn't believe is going to be condemned. The attitude that you have right now toward the gospel is vitally important. And if you're not a Christian, will you make your desires and wishes known to become a Christian? Let us assist you in that. If you're a wayward child and you've been neglectful of your duty, then repent of that, acknowledge it to the Father, and pray to him that he forgive you, as 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9 discusses, that if we're willing to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He will. And then we can rejoice that our sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. This morning we're going to sing the song that's been announced as a way of encouraging you to make your desires and wishes known. Will you come now as we stand and as we sing together?